You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're going to be studying a Christmas lesson in Matthew and Luke about the birth of Jesus. His birth was prophesied a little over 500 years earlier in the book of Daniel. Now, this scripture describes Jesus as an anointed one who would be born and would be killed. Daniel 9:26 in the New Living Translation. After this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. The end will come with a flood and war, and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. In this verse, it says that this anointed one that would be born would die, and it would seem that he accomplished nothing for the people of Israel. He was called a Messiah in these verses, yet it records that the people of God, the Jews, would be overrun by their enemies. And to the world, the birth and death of Jesus Christ accomplished nothing at that time because the world went on as before he was born. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was very obscure except to a few people. The three wise men saw the star and came to Bethlehem to bring their gifts to a king that they believed was born on that day. Their gifts were frankincense, gold, and myrrh, very precious gifts. These three wise men came from different countries, such as Ethiopia and Persia. They were wise men who studied the stars to look for signs from God of a coming king. And God showed them that there would be a king who would be born and for them to follow the star that would lead them to him. These wise men arrived in Jerusalem and inquired at the palace of King Herod as to where the newborn king was located. Herod was troubled with what they said because he feared for his throne that it would be taken away by this new king. He believed the wise men that there was a king born, and he set out to kill Jesus at the onset. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there were also shepherds that were in the fields tending to their sheep. Now these shepherds were among the lower class citizens of the day. They were not wealthy. They were sheep herders. They were not political nor wise men, but they were just ordinary men going about their daily duties. All of a sudden, there were many angels that appeared from the heavens, and they are referred to as the host of heaven that appeared all around these shepherds and made an astonishing announcement. The angels told these lowly shepherds to go and see where Jesus was born, which was in a manger, a stable, where they kept the animals. They must have been perplexed as to why a king would be born in a stable. There was no room for him to be born in the hotel or the inn that the Bible says. Because Mary was at the point of delivery and was going to have her baby that night, the innkeeper had compassion on her and agreed to let Joseph and Mary stay in the stable. So that's where Jesus was born, a lowly place with lowly shepherds on their way to visit him. The Anointed One was born in a lowly, obscure place. That seems to be the life of Jesus. The world took no note of him except when he performed miracles, when he raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, and when the deaf heard. He was the Son of God. He would deliver the people from their sins. But even though he told them these things, they did not know what he was speaking about. What Jesus told the people in Jerusalem was totally against the religious system of the world at that time, because the religious leaders said only God could forgive sin. So all his words seemed to be foreign to the listeners. His words spoke of another world, so they didn't understand him nor his message. His life would seem to be obscure and of little value. His words so enraged the religious leaders of that day that they had to take notice of him because they thought he was a false prophet. And had Jesus not stirred up so much with his miracles and his sayings, and had he not had a great following from the ordinary people of that day, he would have went totally unnoticed by the magistrates and the political system. The world didn't take notice of Jesus at the time he was born, and even at the time that he died, there was no one who really stood by him when he was on the cross, except for a lowly thief. The soldiers were gambling over the robe that Jesus wore. They were cursing and swearing in his hearing, and there was no comfort from any friends or relatives around him. His mother and the Apostle John, along with some other women, were watching from afar for fear of the Roman guards. The other disciples had left him and had scattered for their lives. The only one that was present was the Apostle John, and that's because he was taking care of the mother of Jesus. He was so young that the soldiers didn't consider him to be a threat, so they did nothing to him. No one gave Jesus a kind word. He was considered nothing at this point when he was on the cross, except for a most insignificant and despised person, the thief who was hanging next to him on the cross. He gave Jesus a kind word. The other thief who was crucified on the other side of Jesus was mocking Jesus. He said, "Save yourself and us if you're the Messiah." But this lowly thief who believed in Jesus rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God? We are getting our just reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then the thief turned to Jesus and asked him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He took notice of him. And Jesus answered this thief by telling him that he would be with him that day in paradise. A kind word, fitly spoken, can mean the difference in eternal life or not, as it did in this case. Jesus was misunderstood. The religious leaders of the scribes and Pharisees were teaching false doctrine to the people. They were teaching traditions of men that were wrong. They misled the people by telling them that they could make themselves spiritually right before God by constant outward cleansing ceremonies. They went through extensive washing of their hands before meals and were endlessly washing the vessels that they ate from, even though they were already clean. They were teaching nonsense things such as these and claimed that if they would do these rituals, they would cleanse themselves from sin. They made the error of disregarding the heart and the soul of man in their attempts to be made right with God. They believed they'd be spiritually unclean or defiled if they didn't wash their hands before they ate their meal. They didn't understand the true righteousness that Jesus was pointing out to them. He spoke of the righteousness of the heart in his instructions to the people, but they couldn't get past an outward worldly view of themselves. They even washed the pillows that they sat upon at their table before they would eat a meal. They took great care to ensure that they were not defiled by dirty dishes or dirty hands. But Jesus tried to explain to them that a man's not defiled because he doesn't wash his hands. A man is defiled by what comes out of his heart, Jesus told them. He said, man is defiled by his evil thoughts, his adulteries, by his thefts, his blasphemies, and all the evil things that come out of the heart. And it is those things that defile the man, because it is these things that can cause us to commit sins. And even as Jesus was explaining this to the disciples, they didn't understand either. He's amazed that they don't understand that he's speaking to them of spiritual things and about the cleansing of the heart and the soul and not about physical cleaning of the body. Jesus came to earth to redeem us. He didn't come to bring a new kind of doctrine, a new tradition of man, but he came to redeem our sin-sick souls, to give us righteousness. But from the day of his birth, he was persecuted. At the time of his birth, King Herod believed that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he had all the newborn babies up to 2 years old slaughtered in Bethlehem, hoping that one of them would be Jesus. Had King Herod found Jesus at his birthplace, he would have killed him. In this instance, obscurity paid off. Herod didn't know where he was. After this happened, an angel appeared to Joseph and told him to take the baby and to flee into Egypt because Herod was seeking the life of Jesus. They stayed in Egypt until Herod was dead. Then they returned and moved to Nazareth. That's where they lived for the most part of Jesus' life as he was growing up. Jesus was constantly under persecution from the devil because the devil knew who he was. Jesus was not obscure to the devil. And even though the scribes and the Pharisees and the head religious leaders of Jerusalem didn't recognize him, the devil did. There were many instances where Jesus cast the devils out of a person, and the devils would speak up and say, I know who you are. You are the Holy One, the Son of God. And Jesus would tell the devils to be quiet. In other instances where he healed someone, he would tell them, don't broadcast this healing abroad. Don't tell anyone what I've done for you. Don't speak about the blessings that I've given to you. Now that seems strange to us because we're told today that we are to tell what God has done. We are to be his witnesses and testify of his greatness. But in the time that Jesus was upon the earth, the devil sought to kill him because he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. He intended to kill him to stop God's plan, but God was ahead of him because he knew what the devil would do. And so God put in his plan that Jesus would die for the sins of the people. The devil helped God carry out his plan of redemption by stirring up the people to kill Jesus on the cross. And the devil didn't know that by crucifying Jesus, that he sealed his own doom and his own fate. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He laid down his life willingly, and he subjected himself to the wish of the devil to kill him. However, God intervened and raised him from the dead, and by doing so, he destroyed the works of the devil, and he set the captives free from sin. Jesus gives us eternal life if we believe and accept him as our Savior. Jesus had to do his miracles in secret, but even the most secret miracle that he could do was such a phenomenal thing. It couldn't help but be told in every household. Everywhere he went, they were buzzing about the man who's performing miracles and talking about eternal life. In that group of people, he was becoming famous. But Jesus knew he had a short time to work on the earth, and he was trying to avoid the devil coming in too soon to kill him. He had to tell the people about the kingdom of God and equip the disciples to spread the word about his sacrifice, and so he tried to keep a low profile as much as he could. Now the scribes and Pharisees and leaders of that day didn't recognize who Jesus was, and even the disciples didn't understand what he was saying when he spoke of the kingdom of God. They looked at it from an earthly standpoint in looking for a king who would rule over Jerusalem like King David did. But Jesus came for a different kingdom, the kingdom of the soul of man that saves us. Earthly kingdoms will pass, but the kingdom of Christ living in the soul is forever. His kingdom is established forever in the believer. The disciples believed that Jesus would set up an earthly throne and would rule Israel politically and as a monarch. They weren't too far wrong, just the timing was off for Jesus to set up his earthly kingdom. The day is coming in Jerusalem where he will set up his literal kingdom on the earth, and he will rule all nations from Jerusalem. He will rule them for 1,000 years, and after that he will rule in the new heaven for eternity. He will be our king forever. Now, even though the birth of Jesus was obscure from the world's viewpoint and seemed to have accomplished nothing, the death of Jesus on the cross was the plan of God that's hidden from the prideful person and is revealed to children and to the lowly of the world. Those who seek him are the ones God reveals himself to. This Jesus, this man sent from God, this Son of God, even though he was obscure at the time of his birth and even at his death, he made a great impact upon the earth. It's been over 2,000 years since his death, yet the world's time clock is measured by his birth. Our time is measured in years as B.C., before Christ, and years after his death as A.D., meaning after his death and resurrection. How amazing that our time measurement from antiquity is measured according to the time of his birth and death. His birth changed the entire world, even though at the time no one took notice of it. And even today some are blinded and still do not know who he is. God called for the first appearance of Jesus to be obscure so that his plan could be accomplished in redeeming man. But now he wants the whole world to know about Jesus. Things have made an about face. Now it's the devil, not God, who wants to obscure our vision about Jesus. He wants to tell us that living for God is insignificant. We hear it all the time. Have a good time today and forget about tomorrow, they say. That's the devil's philosophy. He tells us that what we do for God is in vain. He tells us spiritual things do not matter when they do matter. Our Heavenly Father is observing all things that are done upon the earth, and he will reveal all our actions in the great day of the Lord. It will matter whether we served God or not. It will matter to us eternally. Acknowledging Jesus Christ as Savior really does matter. Now, unless we're famous or wealthy, our lives seem to be obscure to the world. Even in our close circles, we sometimes feel no one cares. We're just here and nothing else is real. To the world, the believer in Christ is obscure. But to Jesus Christ, we are everything, because he went to the cross and gave his life for our soul. We were important to him, and he was important to God. Jesus is not obscure in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven because Jesus defeated the devil, and in a short time, all evil will be ended once and for all. And as believers, we are not obscure in heaven either. The angels rejoice when one soul gives their life to the Lord. Now when Jesus was on the cross and he was ready to give up the ghost, he said, "It is finished. I have finished what I was sent to do." We can't give up. We have to finish what we've started with Christ. We can't feel so insignificant and obscure that we don't recognize our value in Christ. And when he returns the second time, he will not be obscure to the whole world, for they shall see him in the clouds of glory. They will see him in his majesty. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and the whole world will see it. He won't be obscure then. We will be with him is the great thing about his second return. A lowly person, that insignificant thief on the cross, is going to be with Jesus in the clouds when he returns. And to the world we may be obscure, but to Jesus we are everything, because he went to the cross and gave his life for our soul. If we put Jesus Christ and his righteousness first, we will be with him in those clouds when he returns. Then it will be worth it all. Then we will be glad that we remembered that Jesus came to the earth to save us. Jesus said, "Because I've overcome this world, you can too." Now I want to read you Matthew 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 21 in the King James Version. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." But when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In Matthew, we read the account of the wise men, but we have to turn to Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, to read the account of the shepherds and the host of the angels singing the praises of Jesus. Luke 2 and 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they made haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The angels were dispatched to tell the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. They were called the host of heaven. When they appeared, they were singing the praises of Jesus, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to men. Jesus brings peace in the heart of those who will seek Him and accept Him. When Jesus returns in the second coming, all those who have accepted Him will have great joy and will praise Him as the heavenly host praised Him and the shepherds, because He's worthy of our praise. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we're so thankful that You have sent Jesus, that He died for our sins, even though the world knew Him not and rejected Him. We are thankful that You have revealed Him to those who seek Him, who glorify His name in this Christmas season of His birth. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank You for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading me.